Welcome to the Betrayal Recovery Transformation Podcast, your place to reclaim your life after betrayal. My name is Jen Howie.
Welcome, friends. My name is Chris Rocha. Jen and I are pastoral sex addiction professionals and coaching.
Okay. All right. Take two.
Okay.
Welcome to the Betrayal Transformation. Just kidding. We do have to transform, but first we must recover. All right, here we go. Take three. My name is Jen Howie.
Welcome, friends. My name is Chris Rocha. Jen and I are pastoral sex addiction professionals and coaching experts with over 20 years combined experience. We're so glad you joined us today. We have, as you've already heard, an exciting season of guest speakers coming your way for 2024. But today, we want to introduce you to someone who is near and dear to us. But before we get to the introduction, we do want to ask that you would please remember to like, subscribe, and rate the podcast, because this changes the algorithm and it helps people to find our podcast, thereby hopefully getting some of the help and healing that they need. So if you're happy and you know it, give us a rating. Jen, take the intro away.
All right. So on today's podcast, our guest is Adrian Friesen. And some of you might be thinking, I don't think I've heard her name before. And maybe you haven't. But hopefully you've had someone like Adrian in your life. I often refer to Adrian as the person who ran toward my darkness, especially when others didn't know what to do with my grief. And she somehow managed to show up and hold space until I could get back on my feet emotionally. So I love that we're starting. I know we've had a couple of guests already, but I love that we're starting off 2024 with this caliber of a friend, because she has great things to bring to the table today. So, Chris, she's not just a friend of mine, she's a friend of yours as well.
I actually had the pleasure of introducing the two of you guys about 20 years ago, which is amazing. Adrian is a longtime friend of both of ours. And over the last 20 years, she has consistently been through the muck of life with both of us and somehow just seems to know just what to do. I know why, because she uses her gifts. It's obvious that she has the gifts of discernment, counsel, and mercy. And we invited her here today to talk with us about many of the things that she does best, which is one of those things, is how to come alongside a woman in trauma.
So I almost said with that, why is it, Chris?
It's your catchphrase.
It is, and I don't want it to be, and here I am. And
we're going to look up ChatGPT and find we're going to put that phrase in there and say, come up with alternative catches for us.
It won't matter. It just pours out of me. Welcome to the podcast, Miss Adrian.
Oh, well, thank you guys. Honestly, what a truly humbling introduction. I don't know that I deserve that, but I will take it.
We know that you do. So you take it.
Mm-hmm. Just remind me all the time.
You know, and I just want to say really fast, this might end up being a great podcast for someone who asks a friend, how can I show up for you right now? So listeners, if you are a woman going through betrayal, and you have people that want to help you but don't quite know how, this might be a great podcast to send them or share with them. You can share it with family members and even, you know, pastoral helpers. This might be a good one.
I agree.
So, yeah. Adrian, tell us a little bit about yourself. Let our listeners get to know who you are.
You didn't tell me that was a question.
We figured you didn't need to prep for that one.
Honestly, I do. What do I say?
Are you married? Do you have children?
I am. Yes.
Do you have pets?
I am married, going on 12 years, a blended family of five, two of my own biological boys, 22 and 25, and three bonus babies, not babies anymore, 19, 21, and 23. So, yes, married, children, check, two cats, sleeping where I can see them. That's me.
Beautiful. Thanks, Adrian. Yeah. All right. Well, we're so glad that you're here. Thank you. We've been talking about this for a year, it seems like. It's really fun to have it be happening right now. So let's cut to the chase. And as Jen would say, let's dive right in.
Can
you tell us about a time when you were able to support a friend who was dealing with the aftermath of betrayal? What took place that made a positive impact during that situation? Hard situation.
I'm smiling because you said a time. So I did have to pre-think this one because
20 times.
There's many times.
God keeps bringing you people, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Very unexpectedly. So I will say the first one that jumps into mind is when Jen was walking through her betrayal. I think that was, without thinking too deeply and too far back, that's the one that really gets my attention as a primary experience. And the day that it hit that proverbial fan was a very gut instinct day. It was a gut instinct. It was just to go. Just get there, be there. And it was not, we didn't live close together. We were 3.5 hours away from each other. And I just looked at my very new husband and said, I need to go. And I went. And whatever it took, whatever it looked like, I was just going to go. And I thought, I'll just figure it out. I don't know what I'm going there to do. I don't know what I'm going there to say or who I'm going there to be. I just tried not to overthink it. And just that action, just getting into action mode, made all the difference. I think I tend to be an overthinker and I talk myself out of my gut instincts a little bit if I think too much, but this was so different. I just knew the answer was to go and be there in person, not over text or phone, but there with her. And I think it was priceless.
I will
affirm. Oh, Jen, can you speak to that?
Yes, I can.
I feel like I should be interviewing the two of you. Jen, what was that experience like for you?
Yes, I will say it was actually, thank you, Chris. That's a great question because I was so afraid to tell anyone what was taking place in my marriage because my first marriage had failed and I didn't want anyone to know that this one was perceivingly going to fail as well. And so it was really scary. I didn't know how she was going to respond. We had never been through, I'd never been through this type of crisis with anyone, but I didn't know how she was going to respond. And she came and she showed up, and I cannot say enough how much that mattered, just showing up and sitting there. And she didn't try to comfort me. But she comforted me just with her presence. She didn't try to say the right things. Maybe she did.
But I don't remember.
But in my mind, she just held space. And I'm starting to hate the term hold space.
I can't think of a better way to say it, though.
But she really, really did. And here's a funny little fact. Adrian loves music. That's one thing she didn't share about herself. She loves.
Also, the Blazers, the Portland Trail Blazers.
Wow.
Let's not get into that right now. But it's true. It's true. I will fight about it if you want to.
Okay. Yes. But music.
Yes. I've never seen a bigger Blazers fan than Adrian. But she, part of the things that she loves is music. And she introduced me to Pink. I hadn't really heard of Pink before. And, oh my gosh, did that resonate with me so, so, so much. The music she had introduced me to had really helped me tap into what I was experiencing. I needed to tap into strength and tenaciousness and.
You needed an anthem.
I needed an anthem. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, I can't remember the name of the song right now off the top of my head, but just give me a reason. A little bit's enough. Just a second. We're not broken, but bent. Is that how it goes? And that's what I needed. She showed up, she held space, and then gave me the song that says, we're not broken, we're just bent. And those words kind of held me together for that first week. We're not broken. We're just bent. We're not broken. We're just bent. And so,
and we will learn to love again.
And we will learn to love again. And I didn't know that my marriage was going to make it. And as you guys know, it's been a long, difficult journey. Mm-hmm. And I like that even as a Christian woman, we can dive in to music like Pink and find those anthems when we need it. And God will use anything and everything as he uses his people, as he did with you, Adrian. So, so with that, betrayal often brings these range of emotions, including the anger and the hurt and the panic and the confusion like I was experiencing. How would you say a friend can create that safe space like you did for the betrayed friend to share their feelings without feeling judged? Because that was, I mean, I think I knew you weren't going to judge me, but how would you explain to others how to hold space for that without judgment?
It's such a good question, because I think the first thing we feel when we're so exposed and vulnerable is easily judged. Mm-hmm. So honestly, I mean, I've experienced devastating betrayal, so it wasn't too difficult to tap into what did it feel like? What were the range of emotions? How do I remind myself of that while being this other person? It starts to feel natural for me to get into the shoes of the person I'm supporting. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of a moment where I just do a little introspection and find that space within myself that's there. It will always live there. You know how to tap into it. It's so raw and real. It's just, I don't know. There's almost no way to get out of it once you need to tap into it. And I think you have to continue to remind yourself not to try to manipulate those moments or push too fast through that initial wild ride that you are on, or that someone else is on. And you just hold space, if you will, Jen, for that loved one in trauma to find some footing and solid ground. In those first moments, the range of emotions is insane. I mean, it's intense, confusing, hurtful, devastating. I could go on and probably add 20 more descriptive words to what that's like. And I think it just really requires stepping back out of the whirlpool, because I'm okay in this moment, not going through it personally, and allowing each moment to be what it is while remembering that strength and steadiness is what they need as they're reeling and processing and grasping, that the sadness and anger are heavy. And that part is like a tidal wave over and over and over. And sometimes it goes on for way longer than expected. And I think learning to ride that wave, being in the boat with someone else who's going through that, listening and loving and truly showing up there, sometimes it's even necessary to put boundaries in place because it is so much and it can be exhausting. Mm-hmm. I know what it took for me to recover, so I really tend to tap into that and just try to go there, get there, and be there.
Yeah, as I heard you say, hold space this time, something just dawned on me. We're literally holding space. We're not pushing someone forward in the process. It's like you also mentioned a tidal wave. It's holding them to the ground and steadying them so that they can remain in the place and space that they're in, and not pushing them toward feeling better, not pushing them toward forgiveness, not pushing them toward decisions and that type of thing. So for some reason, it just dawned on me, or maybe I'm just hearing it freshly for the first time. Freshly, is that a word? Hearing
sure.
It.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Creative. We'll make it a word.
All right. And so, you're not pushing them. You're holding. Yeah. But we're going to, yeah.
I was hearing you say, and I kind of took your words, Adrian, and wrote it down a little differently. But what I heard you say was don't manipulate the circumstances for a better outcome for the person. Just be there and let them go through their process.
I think it's our natural response to want to hurry because it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I mean, I kind of struggle with emotional intimacy, I'll be honest. So it's ironic that I get in these situations where that's what God wants me to do, is be in that space with people who are raw and overflowing with emotion. But yeah, it's really important. It's like you have to pause. You have to take a pause and you have to wait for it. You just have to wait. and be patient. And I think steadfast is the word that constantly comes to mind. Mm.
Good. So good. That is so good. I'm sorry. I'm already taking notes from what you're saying. Strength and steadiness is what they need. And I remember you've been that for me before, Adrian, and Jen's been that for me before. Those are such amazing gifts to give someone else, strength and steadiness.
Well, and in all reality, I mean, this is something that the other world that's listening won't necessarily know, is we've been in this boat with each other at different times in our lives. And we have all been this person for each other, separately, together. It's kind of crazy, but it's the foundation of our friendship.
It is. It is, for such a time as this, and for all the fun things too. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It just dawned on me that that's how we met. My first husband had gone to prison, and you befriended me, Chris, and invited me to that Christmas party. We're trauma bonded.
So far, so good.
Maybe not quite. That good? I don't know if that's good.
I don't know that we're trauma bonded.
Not anymore. Yeah, we've got we're going to be bonded with rocking chairs and Afghans here in just a minute. So I'll take it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Adrian, next question. One of the things that's so important is to listen and not try to fix it for others. So yeah, listening can be so critically important in these situations. Talk to us about how we can actively listen and encourage our betrayed friend to talk out their feelings and thoughts openly. Are there any communication tips that you would like us to consider?
Well, that's a good question. I'm so not scripted. There's no algorithm for me when these things happen. And I definitely use a lot of instinct. I'm afraid that anyone out there with counseling or therapy degrees might flag this episode as rudimentary, but honestly, listening with focused intent, hearing what people are saying, asking questions, reminding them especially that no answer or feeling is wrong, nor will I run off. Even if you're like me and struggle with emotional intimacy, like I already mentioned, it is intense, but reminding the person going through all of it that you're there is so much of it. I think using humor when it gets too deep, and sometimes you need a little comedic relief, super important. I like that spot best.
So agree.
Where I'm most comfortable. But those are my go-tos. It's unscripted. It's a really super intuitive experience for me.
Yeah. And as a result, you get to take that intuition and share it with us for those who don't necessarily have the ability to tap into that type of intuition. One of the things I remember that you did that meant a lot to me, because I wasn't yet in a place where I was ready to leave my husband and go. And I think a lot of women will be like, dump him and go.
Of course. Yeah. And
what we really need, for many of us who aren't in that place, whether we've decided to stay or go, we need to know that you support us as a couple. One thing that you did for Dan and I is you and Scott wrote letters to the both of us, telling us that you believe in us. And I have those to this day. I have them tucked away in a very safe place because they meant the world to me, because I knew ultimately you were going to support me through my life. But in this season, I knew that you were also going to support my husband and that you believed in him. And I needed someone to believe in him because I didn't know what to believe in that moment. And so that was really, really helpful, that type of support to us as a couple as well, from both of you to both of us.
I love that so much. And I love that, that's something that's just so you, Adrian. But what that did, I'm sure, was took the pressure off of you, Jen, to, you know, any inkling you'd have to want to defend or explain or minimize, you know, what was going on, that I know I felt a deep desire to protect my husband and his reputation. I didn't want to throw him under the bus, but at the same time, I needed to be seen and heard. And you both did that so well for me when it was my turn. And in the letters, I'm sure, correct me if I'm wrong, Jen, but that took off that pressure for you to worry about what she was thinking or what Scott was thinking about Dan, and to just really love you guys. Is that, would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, not only would I say is that accurate, but I would also add it gave me permission to step into the anger role.
Yeah.
Because I had someone else holding space for my marriage. Now I could get mad. Now I can listen to the other songs on the Pink album.
Right.
And the ones with the words. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And so what, it was a great relief because, okay, she's got my marriage. Now I can attend to my grief and my anger and my sadness.
And in that, that's part of the healing process. She allowed you to begin healing. We've got to be angry to get to the healing part.
Yeah.
I mean, that is part of the healing. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And it created space for me to be mad at him and to not protect him. I finally got to have this opportunity. I shouldn't say finally, because it was really within the first week, but it felt like a year, you know? The first day feels like a year and you're waking up over and over and over again and smacked by this tidal wave every day. But it really just, that was just such an opportunity to step into my own grief and let her and her husband cater to my husband. And then I could just go off the emotional rail that I needed to go off in that moment and to attend to that.
Beautiful.
Well, and we had, I mean, another level of vested interest. Dan was one of the pastors that married us just moments before, honestly. I don't remember the exact time frame, but it was within a year.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys got married in
space for your marriage. Mm-hmm. We couldn't imagine our lives without you. That was selfish.
Mm. Oh, and I was so embarrassed, Adrian. I was so embarrassed that my husband that was doing all these things stood up and married you guys. And I'm like, oh my gosh, has this disqualified us? Do they need to go get remarried because now we just don't count? Or, you know,
it was
that was really hard, knowing that while he had married you guys, it turns out he was doing all these other things. And I wish I could have Dan on here to talk about his experience with that too, because of the level of shame he was experiencing at that time, knowing he was saying all these things at your wedding, which he really believed, but mm-hmm. he was an addict, and mm-hmm. we know how that goes. So, all right. Well, then, Adrian, when someone's been betrayed, they might want to withdraw or feel disconnected, as I think many of us do, for that fear of being judged, being shamed, mm-hmm. and all of that. But just the emotional energy, you know, that it takes just to talk about what you're going through. Mm-hmm. So how can we help people stay connected and feel supported during this time like this, when there's, you have to have that balance of you need to talk about it, but you also just need to not talk about it. Like, how do we stay connected?
Well, luckily we are in a world of technology.
Yes.
So as we keep progressing down that road, I mean, it's made incredibly easy with minimal effort to FaceTime, Marco Polo, text, phone calls. Mm-hmm. You can be hands off and hands on at the same time. And I think that it is such a, again, we've talked about the range of emotions and the changes every single day, sometimes minute to minute. And I think it's just, it's too easy to stay connected. We just have to find the balance, not go overbearing. Like, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? Constantly. No. You just remind, like, if the betrayed individual is seeming to withdraw, it's natural. But I think it's important to stay consistent with them. Remind them you're there.
Yeah.
Do what you'll say you're due. Trust becomes such a huge component. And to be in that trusted circle for someone, or that trusted person for someone who is so hurt and exposed, you have to take that really seriously. I think with trust being such a trigger, follow through is integral. It's the lifeblood, and it starts the baby steps mm-hmm. of the healing process. Trust someone a little bit, just a little bit. I mean, of course, you're going to go through all sorts of feelings about trusting anyone. But it's a big deal and it's a big responsibility to walk through this with someone, and you have to be patient. And it requires love and commitment. I think it's super dependent on the person you're dealing with. We all need different things at different times. And it's important to read the person, the situation, adjust your responses accordingly. It can't be it's not a cookie cutter. There's no like blueprint for how to do it. It's very, I keep saying the word intuitive, but it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A couple things come to mind as you're talking. One is, I think both of you asked me this. What do you need right now? How can I show up for you best? Mm-hmm. That's such a beautiful question to ask someone. And maybe they won't be able to identify it right away, what they need. But you could say, when you know, you let me know. And if I can do it, I will show up for you that way.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to remember that they might not know. They might not know enough to be able to tell you. So that's when you can step into, okay, what would I want? And go gently into that. It could be as simple as asking if they ate that day.
Yes.
I mean, we have DoorDash and Uber Eats and Costco can deliver. Like there are little
things. A water bottle with the little marks on the side to make sure that they're getting their water in for the day. Yeah.
Right. It's just reminding someone in a small way that they are special. They're seen, they're heard, they're thought of. No matter what it looks like. Yeah. And it's the little things at this point that send the biggest message of love and value. And it is so desperately needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think about something else you did for me. Get up, get your shoes on. I don't want to. Get up, get your shoes on. We're just going to do one lap around the park. That's it. Come on. Come on. Okay. We're going to get a cup of coffee. I don't want to get a cup of coffee. It's just one cup of coffee. And granted, you know, you sort of alluded to the read the room. So you, yeah. I think it's good to take that deep pause and read the room. But I also think it's important, and I don't know if this is true for everyone, but I will say that it was true for me. Chris, Aide, you can speak to this. But sometimes having someone else make a decision, because when you are in betrayal brain, your decision-making ability kind of goes offline, and it's kind of nice to have someone say, we're going to go eat this, and you probably will take two bites and be done. But, you know, it's really nice to have someone step in and say, come on, this is what we're doing. Let's do it. You know,
yeah. So you don't have to make the decisions. I would say that, but that initial betrayal, I don't know what you guys felt, but to me, it felt like a lobotomy. I could not think.
Yeah.
I couldn't feel. I was just numb. I was just vibrating. And for someone to come alongside, you guys to come alongside and say, okay, exactly what you guys are talking about. This is what we're going to do. This is what, okay, like Jen, I remember you saying, you are going to join my group. You're going to join this betrayal group, and that's going to be a start. You're going to call your therapist as soon as we hang up the phone, and just having someone there to help you think.
You know, this is interesting. This brings up another point is I realize now as we're talking to the both of you can speak like that to me in my life. But if my kids went through this, that would be such a mom mode, right? Because of the relationship difference. So for those of you who may not have a Chris or Adrian in your life like I do, or you have a dual relationship, like a counselor friend / sister, mother, whatever, you know, whatever the dual relationship might be. I think it's important. I think this is a question that most people could be able to answer in the moment, which would be, do you need me to be a mom or do you need me to be a friend right now?
Yeah. Which hat do you need me to put on?
Right. Right. What do you need right now? I just need you to be a friend. Okay, great. Then I'm not going to tell them, I'm not going to say, get up, we're going to go for a walk. Depending on if it were one of my children or something like that, you know, it really does depend on the relationship. But it's a great question to ask if you're in a dual relationship with someone.
That's a great point. You already mentioned some practical ways to show up for people. Adrian, if you have any more to add to that, I'd love to hear it. But I also would love for you to talk about, you mentioned boundaries. So what kind of boundaries did you have to put in place to preserve your relationship with your husband, your time, you know, you had kids to take care of, you know, you were in a new marriage. How did you go about protecting your time and space and heart?
Yeah, it's a hard place to be holding that kind of space, Jen. I'm going to laugh every time I say it now.
It's important now. Keep the visual in your mind.
I'm holding so much space.
Not that wide.
Wow. It was proverbial.
Okay. Oh, gosh. It went there.
Okay. I think every situation is so different. Again, we keep trying to I'm not saying we're trying to make a cookie cutter answer out of any of it. I think it's, you really do have to take care of yourself to be any good to anyone else. And it's a very clear experience stepping into the boat with someone who is in that kind of trauma. It's very hard not to get wrapped up in it, all consumed by it, especially when there's an emotional connection to the person or the family or the couple, however that may be, if it's your child, if it's if it's a super close relationship, it is very easy to get consumed and pulled in a way that you have to check yourself on. So I think it's super important to have journaling, counselor, be able to talk to your spouse, to really kind of just have a good sounding board. Am I doing the right thing? Really just keeping track of your own space and your health while you're doing it. Hmm. Getting good sleep if you can. Just, it sounds, I feel like I'm almost comparing it to athletics or something, but it is emotionally,
kind of is.
Physically. Let's talk about the Blazers. No, it's emotionally and physically exhausting. Mm-hmm. It's a marathon. So you have to do it at a marathon pace. You can't sprint it. So helps.
You didn't feel that way with me, right?
Of course not. No, actually, I don't remember it feeling. I mean, the intensity of emotions, yes, that was legit. It was real. It was scary mm-hmm. for me to step into that and not know what the outcome was going to be. But no matter what, being there was more important. And that's just part of life, is doing life with your people, however it looks. And yeah, just taking care of yourself in the process, making sure that you can turn your phone off and say, I'm going to sleep. If you need me, send me a text and I'll get back to you in the morning or after dinner, or, mm-hmm. just putting some very kind, boundaries down, but being flexible if there's moments that need to be addressed or attended to.
Right. Yeah. The chaos is going to be there in the morning for that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they'll survive 8 hours without you,
Hopefully.
Yeah. I do have one question, something I hadn't really thought of. I don't really think of until now. So I'm sorry if this puts you on the spot. My question is, through the years, initially you stepped up and you walked into this role and you, like I said, ran to our darkness and were there for us. What was it like as that happened over and over and over the last 10 years? Like, I think initially sometimes we'll rise to an occasion. We're like, okay, this person needs me in this dramatic moment. But you watch Dan and I do this over and over and over again. On a scale from 1 to 10, how hard was that?
This feels tricky.
It does. And you can be completely honest. I'd love to hear your honest answer around that.
I think a scale of 1 to 10 would be impossible because I can't register.
Can't quantify that.
On a 1 to 10, not possible. I think that the hardest part is the fear because we're family now. We've been doing this, the three of us, for 20 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
It's family. Yeah. What if the what ifs are the scariest part? The standing in the boat, the getting in there in the muck and the mud, the hard stuff that is hard, but it's, I think, the idea of what if. What if there's a last time? What if this falls apart and there's nothing we can do? It'd be like a divorce of friends.
Yeah.
I mean, not necessarily. I just wouldn't know how I'd hold it together differently, right? It seems so much easier just to keep plugging in and trudging on and doing the hard things together because we're all still together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, Chris, how you would answer that as well, because I remember the last relapse Dan had, you told Todd, I don't know that Jen's going to stick around for another round of this.
That was definitely fair talking.
Yeah. Felt that too.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, I didn't know if I was going to stick around for another round either, you know, but just as my friends who watched us initially, that's one thing, but to watch your couple friends for 10 years go through this over and over again, I just imagine that it just must have been really difficult to not know. And yet it appeared to me that neither one of you pulled away from me.
No, we do know this isn't our first rodeo. We know how to, just to use that analogy, we know how to ride this horse. Mm-hmm. We know the language. You and I talk on this podcast a lot about how there's a language that comes with betrayal trauma. So we knew the tools, we knew the questions to ask, we know about accountability, we knew the steps that needed to be taken. So we could speak the language with each other. I also love, this is a Christian podcast and it's not up to us. We don't do this in our strength. We do this, it's, you know, we've got God that we can lean on. He can fill us, you know, the caretakers, the nurturers. So we've got a higher source that we can draw strength from. So what was it like? I mean, it's like any time that you walk alongside of a couple who's in trouble, their marriage is in crisis for whatever reason, it would be such a bummer. It would be so devastating if that marriage ceased to exist. But I personally, and I know, Adrian, I know you well enough to know that, you know, our brains don't go to that what if. We stay in the moment. God gives us manna for today. And that's kind of where Todd and I were at. We wanted to get you guys, and I know Scott and Adrian are the same way. We wanted to be able to be part of that manna that you and Dan needed for that day. And it is really a one step at a time. You know, one of the things that is so helpful is to remember for our own selves, the person walking alongside, but also the person going through the trauma, God says he'll give us manna for today. Mm-hmm. So don't worry about tomorrow. Let's stay right here in this moment and handle this. So yeah.
Can you see the tears in my eyes?
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
What are you
thinking?
Oh, I just, this is why Dan and I have to continue doing what we're doing, because there's so many people out there who don't have a Chris and Adrian in their life.
Or Jen.
Yeah. Yes, or Dan in this case, because of the coaching that we do together. And,
love Dan.
I do too.
Love what he's doing. Yeah.
And how he's redeeming his life story and how together we're redeeming the marriage that we have. But there's so many people that don't have people like you guys in their lives. And so I was teary because this is exactly why we have to keep doing what we're doing. It's manna for today. Anytime we're placed in someone's life, even if it's at the grocery store, even if it's the cashier, even if it's the woman in the car next to you at the stoplight, we could be someone's manna. And we have to keep that in the forefront as much as we possibly can. Because sometimes just a kind smile is what someone needs just to hold on to for that moment. You know, who knows?
I remember getting text messages from you, Jen, saying, how can I pray for you today? And it was not anything like good morning or, you know, no segue, just bam. How can I pray for you today?
Right. Cause I knew it was on your mind. So that we didn't need to do introductions.
Well, and just going back to what we were talking about with boundaries, you know, we could keep going. We can keep going for others because, like we've talked about other times on this podcast, is the Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And it assumes that you're taking very good care of yourself. So as as caretakers, as those people holding space, coming alongside, we really do need to prioritize our health and well-being, whether you're a betrayal trauma coach or counselor or a friend or a family member who is walking alongside someone who is going through betrayal. We need to make sure that we're getting enough sleep, that we're turning our phones off, that we have, like for Todd and I, scheduled date nights where the phones stay in the car and nothing's invading that space. Prioritizing your own marriage, remembering this isn't happening to you. It's happening to this other person.
Yeah.
Don't get so into it that you're taking on all the, all that empathy and you're taking on all the trauma into your own life.
Don't get so wrapped in, that you're sacrificing your spouse, your time together, your recovery time. Life is a lot. We have a lot going on. So absolutely keeping track of those things is what makes you better for someone.
Yeah.
But you first have to be better for yourself.
Right. Yeah. And creating that boundary as the person who was the energy sucker in the room, because I was going through so much, when you guys created those boundaries, or friends who are listening, when you guys create those boundaries for that person that you're walking through things with, you might be surprised at how much they can handle it and appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Because your yes is yes, you know, and your no is no. Go ahead, Aid.
And often, I mean, we usually think of boundaries as something mean or harsh, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, they put a boundary down. That was, ouch, that really hurt my feelings. That's not the kind of boundaries we're talking about. We're just talking about personal time, taking care of ourselves. And it doesn't have to be a conversation where I'm saying, Jen, you have me for 37 minutes and then I must go make dinner. And then I can't talk to you again for the rest of the day. It's not like that. It's lovingly saying, yes, I'll be available again whenever, or checking in when you are available, and then being able to put your phone down. We're so accessible. We have to force ourselves to take breaks from each other, even just in the general, like, okay, we're going to get off our phones for a bit and focus on our spouses or our children or take a bath, whatever it is.
I think another important thing is something that we've talked about on this podcast before as well, is having an inner circle. And we can't have a circle with one person. Mm-hmm. So identifying those safe people, a therapist, a coach, a friend, maybe a sister, your favorite aunt, you know, the women's ministry leader, shout out to Judy Renner, love you. But, you know, having an inner circle of trusted people so that you're not putting everything on one person. I mean, we can have our best friend, absolutely, but having several pieces that make up a whole pie is a wise thing
You bring up a good point, because I remember us having this conversation. I think I've had this conversation with both of you. You guys have asked, who can I tell? Because so recognizing that it's too much of a burden to carry yourself, you're going to probably have to share this and process with someone. So saying to the betrayed friend, saying, who can I share this with? Who do you feel comfortable me sharing this with? Will allow you to offload that to somebody, with someone that person trusts. And again, creating trust, like you said earlier, Adrian, creating trust is pivotal and so, so important at this time. So whether it be another friend, or maybe I don't want you to tell anyone, not even your spouse.
Yeah.
Please take it to a counselor. You know, I'll pay for your counseling. Or maybe not quite that. Adrian, I'm curious though, as you were going through all this, did you find anything in your experiences to be unhelpful? Were there things that, or maybe this is, can kind of be a free-for-all question, like what are some of the things that really just unhelpful while walking alongside someone through betrayal trauma?
Gosh, I don't know if I have an answer off the top of my head for that.
What about you, Chris?
I mean, things that come to mind when I was going through my betrayal season of, you know, trying to recover from that and find my sea legs again, was anyone telling me what to do. Now that's it's different than get up and put your shoes on. We're going for a walk. I'm not saying that. That's great. But someone telling me, you know, you have to leave him, or no one did. Thankfully. Someone saying, well, you have to read this book. Read the book or listen to this podcast.
Let me shove this down your throat.
Yeah, you can offer suggestions. You can offer help, but telling someone what to do, I got to the point where I had so much I had put on myself that I was feeling waterboarded. Like I was choking on all of it, and I just couldn't handle it anymore. So judgment. Don't judge. Just, I like what you said earlier, Adrian, ask clarifying questions. Mm-hmm. So many questions. Jen, one of the best questions you taught me was to ask, what emotion are you trying to outrun right now? Mm-hmm. You know, how can I pray for you today? So, and not assuming, not assuming anything, but just asking questions. And, what about you, Jen? What did you find to be unhelpful?
I didn't experience this so much in my second marriage, but my first marriage was because everything was so public. It was all the scripture. Mm. And I don't know if I would go as far to say that there was some spiritual bypassing that was taking place. And I think people meant well. But regardless, I think that happens when people assume what you need to hear. That they assume that their heart intent is going to be communicated effectively. And sometimes we just have to share the scriptures because God's put it on our heart, and we do that out of obedience because God says, share this with them. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to shut down this idea of sharing scripture, but it was sometimes the over-spiritualizing. My experience wasn't comforting
the for Christianese.
So just being really careful with that.
Well, and great segue. The thing that came to mind is when someone is in trauma and the anger hits, and it will if things are progressing correctly, mm-hmm. and you know that you have to get to anger. I think getting into the space where you jump in with the person who's in trauma. Like if Jen or Chris, I had jumped in and started talking trash about your husband, mm-hmm. or I think so many people feel like that's being mm-hmm. supportive mm-hmm. when really it's super damaging, because when a couple works things out, you can't take that back. And it's super important to remember that, because it matters.
That's such a great
point.
Like
I said, you can't unsay it. So it's if Jen says to me, he is a bleepity bleep, I'm over this and done. Yeah, I can understand why you'd feel that way. Is way more powerful and important than saying, yes, he is, and you should go and do it back. Retaliate or, whatever it is that makes you feel better. That's just going to have a whole different outcome.
Not helpful.
Which just speaks to the importance of being very careful about who mm-hmm. you let into your inner circle, choosing those support people wisely, because you can't unring that bell.
But unfortunately, you also can't foresee that before it happens.
Yeah.
So it's when the rubber meets the road, you're going to learn some things about yourself, about your people.
Yeah.
Some are going to make the cut. Some are not. If they can't do hard. Some people can't go do that with you.
And that's okay.
And that's another thing to remember, is some people can't do it with you, and it's not personal.
Mm-mm. Oh, my
that's
gosh.
Good.
That is – oh, can you just say that again?
Probably not.
Oh, I'm supposed to say mic drop now. Sorry.
No, I didn't say that one.
That was a mic drop. Say that again, please.
It's important to remember that people cannot always come alongside you and do the hard with you. And it's not about you. It's about them, just as all of these things are. But people's responses are about what they're available for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's okay.
Mm-hmm. It is okay.
It's okay. It is disappointing, but it really is okay. We had friends that had done that, And that was very painful. And it took me a long time to understand that that's okay. What we were going through was a lot. They didn't know how to respond and they were struggling. And so I can't judge their inability to hold space for that season. That just means that God has someone else in that season, and it's okay if someone walks away and can't handle it. Yeah.
That just goes to identity too, that we have specific gifts and strengths and talents, spiritual gifts, personalities. We've all been put here for a purpose, and we've been equipped by our creator to do a specific work. And Adrian, like I said at the top of the show, you are clearly gifted with discernment and wisdom, and you have such a gift with words and a gift with holding space.
Sarcasm.
I do.
Yes, which turns into the gift of humor.
That's the humor part. It's very important.
Yeah. So, which actually I don't think Paul wrote about that, but we can just put
about
that in
sarcasm?
Side notes. Yeah, of the gift of the spiritual gift of sarcasm. I don't think that's in there, but maybe we can chat with him.
Not so positive things about sarcasm in the Bible.
Oh, you're right.
I'm aware of it.
But these other people, though, that can't go through this incredibly intense betrayal trauma might be the person to leave a casserole on your door, or maybe they're here to, you know, to be here in a different season of your life or to help you with something, you know, a different situation. So we cannot be all things to all people. God's given us specific purposes for specific times.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. So Adrian, as we're closing this out, and this has been such a rich conversation, I've loved it. Do you have a word of encouragement that you would like to leave for our listeners with? A word of encouragement or just a closing thought?
My word of encouragement, well, it might just not be one word because I'm not very gifted at being concise.
That's okay.
That's what I know. I use lots of words. I would say that for the person going through the trauma, just to know that God is going to give you that manna and to, there might be pain that comes with those who can't step in with you, but like we talked about, there will always be people who can, or someone that can be your person. Mm-hmm. And then I think for the friend or person that's going through trauma with someone, just grace and patience and love, because that is where we get good things. We get good things from having those qualities, and having grace for people who are in the ugly, super important. And that's what I would want. That's what I did want, was to be able to be who I was, where I was, and it was okay.
Unconditional love.
Share that.
Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you.
That's perfect.
Not a mic drop, but hey. I already did one of those.
Yeah. And you can't do them every day.
Podcast.
Yeah. don't get greedy, Adrian. One mic drop per episode.
You know me so well.
Yeah.
Well, Aid, thank you just so much for being here today. Not only do we appreciate you being willing to share your insights, but I guess this is an opportunity for Chris and I to publicly thank you for your steadfastness, for your wisdom, your guidance, and the love, unconditional love that you've shown us. So I don't know where I'd be without you today. I really, I'm really glad I don't have to figure that piece out and that you are here for the long haul. So, and thank you for equipping others to show up in other people's lives as well. So, I think I've said thank you a few times now.
Thank you. On my heart that I want to be a helpful person. I know that I don't always have all the perfect things to say, but being there is super important for me. And I can say right back to the two of you, ditto, thank you. You both have walked through things with me that were terribly hard and in the same sort of painful. And I don't know where I would be without you.
Love it.
Can you feel the love tonight?
Oh, gosh.
If you producers, put that song stuck in my head.
Please cut that out. Producers, take that out.
Our listeners don't need it.
No way. We're singing.
All right. Well, to wrap up, I want to say as well, thank you, Aid. We're so grateful for your steady wisdom and abiding friendship. I think abiding is such an important thing to do with someone who's in trauma, whatever kind of trauma it is. You know, one of my favorite quotes from St. Francis of Assisi states, "A single sunbeam is enough to drive away many shadows." So thanks for being that ray of sunshine in dark places in our lives.
You are the sunshine in my life.
I am not singing with you.
No, you guys. It's an honor. I'm truly privileged.
Yeah. Well, thank you, listeners, for tuning in and being a part of our podcast community. Your support, it's valuable, and we're here to serve you. Remember that healing is a journey and not a destination. And as we navigate the path of recovery and transformation together, know that you are never alone. Stay strong, stay hopeful, and keep working to your brighter, empowered future. And until next time, take care and keep embracing your journey of healing.
Bye, everybody. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Betrayal Recovery Transformation Podcast with your hosts, Chris Rocha and Jen Howie. We hope you've been helped and encouraged. If you value the content we shared today, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review. This helps others find the show. Need personalized guidance? Please contact Chris or Jen for transformative coaching. This episode has been brought to you by HealingWithTheHowies.com, WatermarkCoach.com, and with the support of Pure Life Alliance Ministries.